They must really want Pinto to get himself a lot of at-bats in the minors.
Yeah.
He had a good spring. Herman, he's got a 196 career batting average in, what, 97 games over the last three seasons. Anyway, Paul Molitor, whatever he does, you know what? I think it's too soon to say that you can't disparage the guy. He knows baseball, so we'll see how that one runs and works out. We are joined, pleased to be joined, by one of the one-and-done co-hosts on Saturday mornings, Marcus Fuller from the Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com. Marcus, I understand. I talked to Debbie Jones. You talked to Tyus Jones. What's Tyus thinking these days?
Oh, man, Tyus is in cloud nine, just like the entire Jones family. You know, it's a funny thing that Tyus and his brother Trey, they were both at the Final Four back in 2010 in Indianapolis. And when Duke won it all, and Tyus was just kind of dreaming about it then, that he'd be there one day. And it's just amazing that, you know, it works out that they get to go to Indianapolis and Duke has a chance to compete for a national championship. You know, with Tyus at the helm. And I mean, this is a kid that we all knew that greatness was in store for him. You know, we saw him earlier in his high school career, but you just, you can't imagine as a freshman him being able to play for, a national championship here in the Final Four. I mean, it's a pretty amazing run.
It's why he went there, because he wanted to win a Final Four, and he's there with his buddy Jahlil Okafor, Justice Winslow. Now, Debbie Jones, who I talked to, made a great point, an interesting point, and it could be a great point. Her son Trey, freshman point guard for Apple Valley, led Apple Valley to a win over previously undefeated Champlain Park. Their one loss was in the championship game. Could it be a trend?
I think I think Duke has a chance, definitely, you know, to beat Michigan State. You know, I'm kind of predicting right now, where I have been this week, that Wisconsin's going to take out Kentucky.
You believe that?
Offensively, that the Badgers, this is one of the best offensive teams in college basketball in a long time. Their front line is arguably the best in college basketball. And I think that defensively, you know, they just the Wildcats have just not have been tested like this all season long. And you saw what Notre Dame was able to do. You know, their big man had a pretty good game. And, you know, they've got three of those guys.
You know,
Wisconsin does. So, I mean, it'd be a great game. I just hope it's a good game. You know, I just, you kind of hope that, you know, what we see in the Final Four lives up to everything that we've seen in the NCAA tournament so far.
Well, you know, Marcus, if Karl-Anthony Towns had not been so dominant in the second half, Notre Dame would have won this game. And I think it wouldn't have blown them out, but they would have won pretty handily or easily. They had no answer for him.
I agree, and I think, but, you know, back to Kentucky and their defense, it just they're never really out of the game. You know, it just seems like defensively they can turn it up any time they want. Such great length, depth, you know, even their backcourt doesn't get much praise, you know, because of Cauley Stein, obviously Towns.
Yep.
But I think the Harrison twins, you know, what they've been through last year with much pressure was on them to carry the team and for them to get to the national championship game. I mean, those guys are going to come up big in this game. If Kentucky wins, I believe that the Harrison twins are going to be the reason versus Wisconsin, because they're, you know, Wisconsin's backcourt, while they played great at times, you know, they miss, you know, Trevon Jackson. And I just thought that Bronson Koenig, I thought he would be bigger in the NCAA tournament than he has been. But, you know, they haven't needed much from him at this point.
Marcus, which one of the Harrison twins was sulking on the bench because he didn't get in? Because there was a point there, and this was pointed out to me, you could see that he was not. I mean, they had a huge basket. Everybody
right.
else is celebrating. He's sitting there sulking. Which one of them is the sulker?
Oh, man, you got me. You put me on the spot here. You know, I'm not sure, actually. I actually looked that one up, but
you know what I'm talking about from that game?
I do, but it escapes me.
The twins, who can tell the difference?
Well, you know, Aaron is the one that is always hitting the big shot, you know.
Well, then it might have, if it was Aaron that was hitting him, maybe it was Andrew.
Yeah.
Who was sulking.
You know, you look at the way college basketball is and the fact that Kentucky's getting all these McDonald's All-Americans. You know, and it's going to continue. You know, we're talking about Kentucky getting a chance to be undefeated this year, but, you know, next year's team, you know, depending on who comes back, you know, they'll be just as good. And he's going to continue to do this, Calipari is, as long as he's there. And I think that's why a lot of teams are rooting for Wisconsin. I mean, I don't know how many Minnesota fans are, but there's a lot of Cal haters out there. And, you know, they just kind of want to see him lose in this game or the championship game. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that, you know, in previous programs, whether it's Memphis or UMass, he's gotten NCAA violations, and it's taken away a lot of the success that they've had.
We haven't even touched on, we'll bring it up now. Bob Knight, the headline is the Bob Knight era at ESPN officially over. He had called his last game in the NIT. Here's a guy who won't even call him Kentucky. Calls him that SEC team.
He doesn't like Cal too much. Do you pick up on that?
He was refusing to say Kentucky.
Yeah, I think that Coach Knight, you know, it's funny we talk about Coach Knight because, you know, I think his son, Pat Knight, followed him at Texas Tech, failed there, and never really got a shot after that. And you see a situation with, you know, Rick Pitino and Richard Pitino. You know, his son, you know, obviously didn't follow him in his footsteps, but comes to Minnesota, has struggled a couple years here, still has a chance to probably have a lot of success in the future if he builds the program up. But all of a sudden, he's been talked about for another job.
What job?
A lot of people are scratching
their head. Honestly, which is the job that he's seriously being discussed about?
Well, I mean, obviously at this point, it was pretty clear that it was Alabama. You know, early on, Tennessee was, I think, was a lot stronger.
How are they a step up from the Gophers or a Big Ten job?
It's not really a step up. I mean, what it is, you know, he would have probably gotten a little raise there. The facilities there are a little better. But it's not, it's more of a lateral job. You're right. I mean, the Big Ten, you look at it as really as conference. The Big Ten really is, I think, superior to the SEC when it comes to basketball. And other than Kentucky, obviously. And it's just a lateral move. It would have been for him, but you know, him coming out today and saying that he's happy here in Minnesota, I think it needed to happen. You know, he really, strung that along a while before he talked to anybody in the media and really had any kind of statement about the situation. And I think there was a lot of pressure probably on him to say something about it, but because it didn't look good.
Was it really serious, Marcus? Because again, based on the only thing he has going for him right now in his career is his name. I think he's going to be a good coach. I really do.
But
I mean, wins the NIT, but this year was a big step back. I don't understand why would you be going after him other than the name if you're trying to get a, you know, you're a big pro. It's why he was hired here. Nobody hires a guy after 1 year at a D1 school unless the name.
It was never really told by anybody that he was the front runner after Greg Marshall took the Wichita State job. You know, he was in the mix, sure, but, you know, no one ever said that he was the guy after Greg Marshall. And, you know, just for him to be looked at by Alabama, you're right. I mean, it is a head scratcher because he hasn't accomplished much so far. But, obviously, if we would have said this last year after winning the NIT, not too many people would have been surprised. And, you know, I think this year, he's still going through a lot of growing pains as a coach, you know, as a young coach in this conference. This is a team with four seniors who were set in their ways, good and bad. And he wasn't able to break them out of that. And, that's partly on him and that's partly on the players.
Well, actually,
he's going to have a chance to coach his almost his entire team of his recruits.
Now, Marcus, you've dealt with him a lot. I like the guy. In the limited exposure I've had to him and dealt with him. But I don't ever say it's on the player. It's on the coach. If they weren't doing what he wanted, then you bench him. No matter how good they are and no matter that they're seniors, if they're not doing what you want and you're the head coach, you don't play him.
He did. He did. He benched Matthew, and he benched Mo Walker for a game. You know,
but it shouldn't be just a game. Unless they bow to his wishes or bow to his wishes, they don't play at all. So, I mean, you can't put it on both of them.
He didn't have the luxury of being able to bench seniors for you know, he did it with Elliot Lyson because he had Mo Walker. You know, he did it with DeAndre Matthew because, you know, he had Nate Mason there. And I think even Andre Hollins, there was a point there when he probably should have been benched too, but he came around and had a pretty good stretch during the middle of the Big Ten season. But, you know, his hands were tied behind his back as far as where he could go on his bench. There's a couple players one player that transferred and another that was kicked off the team for off the court issues. And, it put him in a situation where he didn't have much room to go to his bench when his seniors were struggling. And, next year's team is going to be very young. They're going to have a lot of depth as far as or a lot of options, but they'll be young options. And, you know, next year I think the expectations will be lowered. But again, when you see a lot of talent and you see them improving, I think that's the most important thing at this point, because he's going to have his players in the program. And if they're getting better, you know, whether they make the NCAA tournament or not, I think people will appreciate that in the short term. But in the long term, you're going to want to see them get back to the tournament.
Marcus, let me just tell you this. Hoosiers, Norman Dale, he played four guys because he was pissed at his players. You just throw four out on the floor. And look how it worked for him. They wound up winning the state title back in 1951. He and his Hickory Docks. What the heck was the Hickory's nickname? What was Hickory's nickname? Do you remember?
You're
Hoosiers? They weren't Hoosiers.
You're putting a lot on these seniors. You know, I mean, I think
They're seniors.
It was up to them.
If they were any good, they would have left earlier for the NBA.
They would not have gone anywhere without these seniors.
And where'd they go?
He had to rely on them.
Marcus.
Whether he liked it or not, he had to rely on them. And they didn't make the NIT. They didn't make the NCAA tournament. And he had to live with that this year.
Where did they go, Marcus, truly, this year? Where did they go? They went nowhere.
They went nowhere, exactly.
Yeah, so where did they go? With or without the seniors, they didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, I actually liked the fact that he did play some of those younger guys, you know, like we talked about Nate Mason, Bakari Kanate, the freshman big man. I actually liked that there was some point in the Big Ten season where he did go young, and he tried to see what those guys had. But again, this is a team that lacked depth, and you know, some of that or a lot of that is Tubby's fault as well. They don't have much young talent, and he brought some guys in that weren't ready necessarily. When I'm talking about Kanate, I'm talking about you know, Gaston, some of these guys, they just weren't ready to play. And if he had more depth, you know, maybe these guys redshirt, but he did not. And, you know, I'm not taking away the entire blame on Patino here. I mean, you know, I think this team did have enough talent to make the NCAA tournament the past two seasons. It didn't happen. You know, and again, the seniors are partly to blame. You know, the coaches are definitely growing, and going through a lot, in the first 2 years. Building this program, and now, you know, we're going to be in rebuilding mode, I think, next year, definitely.
Now, Marcus, talking to Marcus Fuller from the Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com, give me some score. I mean, maybe not the exact score, but how close will these two games be Saturday? And give me your winner and score on Monday night.
Oh, they'll both be down to the wire.
You're picking Wisconsin, though, right?
I'm picking Wisconsin and versus Duke. I think that'd be a rematch of a game earlier this year in Madison that Duke pulled out, behind Tyus Jones. That was a great, great, performance from Tyus. And that kind of showed the nation. I think that, you know, Jahlil Okafor was the talk, of the freshman class with Duke, but, you know, Tyus had every bit of, you know, big play, big moment in him to kind of take over. And, I see him doing that. And, you know, this is his time, you know, I mean.
I agree.
Tyus was born, to play in this game, and I think he's going to rise to the occasion. I mean, he's playing Michigan State. Him and Tom Izzo, those guys love each other. I mean, Tom was the first coach, the big-time coach, to really give him a lot of love. And you know, I really thought at one point he was going to go to Michigan State. You know, his family actually said when he was at the Final Four back in 2010, Michigan State was also there with Duke. And guess who Tyus was rooting for? It wasn't Duke. It was Michigan State.
Well, I'll tell you what, Marcus. I think when people see him play tomorrow and the games he has tomorrow and in the championship game, they're going to go, whoa. I mean, because he is a one heck of a player.
Right. He needs to come back to school, though. I hope he does come back to school.
I think there's a chance he will, because he's, you know, right now, if he has an incredible tournament, his stock will certainly go up. But I do think he'll come back for at least another year. I asked Debbie Jones about that. I don't know if he asked Tyus, and she had said they'll talk about it after the season, you know, what his plan should be. And she wasn't even necessarily talking about leaving, but, you know, what his plan should be for how many years he should be in college, or if he, you know, I doubt we'll see him through his senior year. But did he give you any indication, or do you just say after the season we'll think about it?
Yeah, he does. He's not, you know, he handles the media.
He's
he
great.
Knows exactly what to say and how to say it. I mean, he's just well, beyond his years. And he definitely put it off and said, hey, we're not concentrating on that right now, you know. And I'm a veteran too. You know, I try to ask in different ways to get something out of it.
Yeah, but you get the same answer. Hey, Marcus Fuller from the Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com. Catch him tomorrow with Hardwood Rob on One and Done, and that means 1 hour and done. It's not like they're going to do the show and you'll ever hear from them again. Every Saturday from 10 to 11. Have yourself a great Easter and have yourself a great show tomorrow. Thanks, Marcus.
Appreciate it, Bob. Thanks.
All right, take care. We are going to take a quick break. When we return, it could be we're going to be talking Final Four. We're going to be talking WoW. We're going to talk about everything. Talk about everything. Because it's Friday, and that's what you do. If you want to join in, 651-989-9105. 651-989-9105. We're going to come back, talk to Ruth Lord, and be right back. Are joined by Ruth Lorden, ruthlorden.com, at Psychic Ruth. Ruth, now I got to ask you, she is serious today because she brought in a real crystal ball.
Yeah.
And why do they work? I mean, why do people some psychics use them? Do all psychics have them? Do all people, soothsayers or people who believe? What is it? When you're looking in, you're not really, are you seeing things happening in a crystal ball? Or what makes crystal balls work?
You really have to be powerful to make them work. And what happens is you look at them and some people see things in it. That's not as accurate. It focuses your mind and you get stronger. That's what I've found with it.
But what do you see for Heck Boy over here? So you're going to have one hell of a career and whatever he chooses.
He's going to get a girlfriend. He's coming into his own. He's coming into his own.
You don't have a girlfriend now, right?
You got,
I don't have money for that.
Maybe she's rich.
Sweet.
Have you had... do you need 2 more years of school? Did you walk out on a school? You need 2 more years of school, and it's time to start thinking about getting that again.
Nah.
You need 2 more years of school.
Maybe it'll be your professor.
You're getting ready for the girlfriend.
Go back to school as the professor.
I already graduated from one school.
No, it's probably the wrong one. You need 2 more years of another one.
You need 2 more years of real school, and I'm seeing cameras, so it's time for you to go
TV.
Audio and visual.
Well, you have to get a haircut. He's a little shaggy right now. Now, what are you seeing? Take a look in there and tell me what you see with Wisconsin against Kentucky. Seeing anything there for you? Who's going to win that one? You like Wisconsin? You like Kentucky? What do you like?
I like Kentucky. My feeling is they're coaching, and their leaders are smart, and I'm kind of seeing the ones in the Wisconsin... At the risk of sounding terrible, they're cheeseheads.
That's terrible. Now, there was ESPN had a poll, and the only two states that were not pulling for Wisconsin were Kentucky and Minnesota, because there's that rivalry going.
Yeah.
Now, you put like a kerchief over the crystal ball. What does that do?
Blocks out light.
Light's bad for a crystal ball?
Well, if you want to look inside it and you don't want the reflections of everything going on around here.
Well, it's not like in the movies when they look and they actually see it happening, though.
I have had that happen. I've been using crystal balls for about 25 years.
A lot of people would scoff to hear that you actually see it in there.
Well, they can look at one of my stock records from a year because I used to look in, when I was day trading, I would look in the crystal ball, and if I saw a positive, like an X, like a cross, I bet it.
And
if I saw a minus, I went the other way, and I did come out positive that year.
You seen a plus or a minus with Michigan State and Duke?
You said Michigan State, I felt a plus. What I feel about Duke is they've got three big guys, but they've once again got coach staff that are make the wrong decisions, and I see the guy. There might even be a fight because I see the guys wanting to go one way, their coach is pulling them another, and they're like frustrated. They're going, ooh,
so wait a minute.
I wanted to do it differently.
You see Michigan State beating Duke tomorrow?
Yeah, sorry.
Well, that would be. I'd take that as a little bit of an upset. Heck, boy, what do you think?
Michigan State winning?
Yeah.
It's considered an upset. They're not supposed to win.
How about that guy winning $1 million? You hear about that, Ruth? A guy bet $20,000.
And it's where there's no state income tax. Yes.
In Vegas.
Yeah, no state income tax.
$20,000, and he could pull down a... And we talked to Kelly at Kelly in Vegas. She knows the guy who took the bet at the sports book at Golden Nugget. And it was funny when she talked to him about it. And if the guy wins the bet... His comment was, Tony Miller, the head of the sports book at the Golden Nugget, I'll be working for Ed Kelly in Vegas, because his bosses are going to come down on him, even though he had to run it by the owner of the casino.
And I'm sure they have, like, insurance companies have reinsurance. I'm sure they have that insured. But if that bet was in Minnesota, he'd only get $250,000 by the time he was through with all the taxes.
You know, this actually brings up something I don't think I've ever asked you. How often have you had gamblers call you looking for tips? Does that happen much at all, or have you had it happen? And do you can you give tips like that, or is it?
I don't like to, because the way the spirituality works is you have to give half away to charity, and they don't. And then I can suffer the bad karma. The most recent was, you know, I give readings at the Medina Ballroom, and right before the Final Four, these guys start saying to me, so what's going to go on? And I just came out, I said, Michigan State's going to do an upset. Now,
this week they said?
Oh, they asked me about 2-3 weeks ago.
Okay.
About 2 weeks ago, actually. Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago, and I felt Michigan State's going to have it upset. That was my first try.
So you think Michigan State could win all of it, or just tomorrow against Duke?
I base it on certain things, because as I was leaving, I was drawn to look at the screen, and I saw Kentucky, and I got that same feeling that, yeah, they could win.
You're thinking Kentucky, Michigan State.
Yeah.
Well, I hope
Kentucky's
you're wrong.
Not that arrogant. Kentucky is very focused. These kids are focused.
Well, they're undefeated. You have to have some focus.
They're
to
focused.
Be that. But now, but you have you given betting tips, though? What happens, and have they come back and said you were right?
Yeah, and they didn't give me my little shares, and frankly, I get a little bit upset. So I do it. I do it for my friends. I do it for good clients, but for basic strangers, when they, you know, no. If you're not donating to charity with half your winnings, I'm not going to help you.
Now, what about this? What if Heckboy and I went with you to one of the casinos here, and we made it simple? Ruth, red or black? Would we win every time? How are you with red and black?
If you remember why years and years ago we were all in Atlantic City.
No, it could not be. Actually, it couldn't be. They don't have them here, unfortunately.
But if you remember, in Atlantic City, I won on the Wheel of Fortune.
That's not too bad. Now, what about the Wild? They've got 5 games left. Do you see them locking up? There's
3 out of 5. They could win 3 out of 5. I knew they were going to lose last night. And it had nothing to do with anything but the odds. They were about due. Now, Chicago, let's just say that I did my spying when I was in Chicago a few weeks ago. And I don't know how domestic problems can affect hockey players. But let's just say that a hockey player on the Chicago Blackhawks is not happy.
Because he's doing too much work at home domestically. You mean
he's not
vacuuming
happy
a lot
in the domestic situation.
Now, that could affect the guy. Now, wasn't it the Blackhawks you were conceived during or after a Blackhawks game?
After a Blackhawk game. So I am technically a Blackhawk.
So you have that strong, that very strong tie to the Blackhawks. Now, then about Adrian Peterson, every week we talk, there's something new about him. The new thing this week is that the Dallas Cowboys redid the contract for Tony Romo, meaning there's a lot more cap space in Dallas now. You've been saying you see him in purple.
Yeah.
Has that changed?
No, there isn't cap space. I'm not saying this psychically. There's an article that was done to cover other stuff they've already done. I see him in purple for a while. Because those guys from New Jersey are smarter negotiators more than the boys from Texas. Unfortunately, they are. And I see him still as a non-issue because he's going to get hurt.
Oh, you know, he'll be hurt for most of the season,
you think? He's a non-issue.
Knee again?
Well, you know, that questionable operation that he had, or that avant-garde European operation, those don't usually last forever. It's like plastic surgery. When you have the extreme one, you got to get it done again.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to keep an eye on that. And the Twins open the season. Okay, good start, bad start to the season.
Great hopes for the Twins. All I can hear right now is that song going through my head, Don't Bring Me Down. That's
well, they've
all
done
I
that 4 years
hear.
In a row.
It's like, don't bring me down.
No, it's happened plenty.
The first 3 games will tell. But I do believe that with the new management, they're open to changing pitching. They're open to working with the team they have and not trying to mold them into what he wants to make them.
All right. Anything else the crystal ball telling you before we close out here?
Who's a Patrick? Whose name is Patrick that's on a football team? There's a Patrick that's going to be good. Who is that?
Patrick? Who you got?
Well, I hope it's not. I hope P.J. Williams' first name isn't Patrick, because he just got
DUI.
He's
busted for a DUI.
Yeah.
Oh, that one. I'm seeing a. Well, he's good.
All right, we'll have to figure that one out. Ruth Lorden from RuthLorden.com and at Psychic Ruth. And are you working today? You're heading from here
today. I'm at the Poorhouse.
Okay.
And I'm at the Medina Entertainment Center. Actually, later there tonight, I'm going to go hear Buck Cherry. And so if you're out there, say hi. I know one of the sister stations here will be there hosting it.
Oh.
93X is hosting Buck Cherry, and they're telling me there's some great bands, so get there early. And next week, I'm at the Medina Wednesdays and Thursdays. Lots of private readings, lots of phone readings, even FaceTime these days. Seems to be taking over Skype.
Well, thank you so much, Ruth Lorden. Again, at Psychic Ruth, ruthlorden.com. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend. We're going to come right back with another guy in Vegas, Jim Suhan, Star Tribune, and suhanunfiltered.com. We'll be right back. You know what the truth is? You should have put on something like Rocky Mountain High, because our guest, Jim Suhan, from the Star Tribune, suhanunfiltered.com, where you would find his podcast. Jim, how high up in the mountains are you?
We're up in the Red Rock Canyon, up 4,000 feet or so. It's spectacular, Bob. We're with some friends. We're out west of this Las Vegas, and it's now we're by the Spring Mountains. It's just gorgeous up here. I'm not sure I'm coming back.
Are you hiking, you're driving, or you're riding horses?
Well, driving at the moment, but the idea for today was hiking. They took us on one of the gentler paths through the Red Rock Canyon, and it's pretty amazing. You get way up high, you look down on the strip, it looks fairly...
Oh, that must be neat.
...from where we were. Yeah, it's great.
The only problem with hiking is you got to walk. My dogs would be barking.
luckily I have been working out, so it wasn't much of a challenge. I wouldn't want to go up there... having not been in the gym recently.
Do you actually have hiking shoes that you brought with you from Minnesota? What do you wear when you go hiking?
I would advise, if you went on any of the steep paths, I would advise wearing some real hiking shoes. We were on a pretty easy path. I wore running shoes. It wasn't too bad.
I bet, you'd mentioned, it must be one heck of a view, because you are, that whole look of the strip, even driving around from the airport, it looks great, but to see it from up above like that, it must be just spectacular.
The strip is more spectacular up close. We were so far away and so high up, it looks like nothing. It looks like a little collection of buildings. You really can't see detail. We were so far out. They call it the valley here, because it is surrounded by mountain ranges, and it is pretty close to sea level. We're up 4,000 feet. It looks like nothing from up there.
Now, are there a lot of people that are hiking, or is it pretty sparse?
No, we went on a weekday thinking it wouldn't be crowded on a weekday, and then we realized it was Good Friday, and there were a lot of people up there. Now, there's so many different paths. There are 57 different paths you can take just from the place we started out. So it's not like it's overpopulated while you're on the trail, but there are a lot of people up in the mountains, and there are a lot of different ways to go.
This is not, I don't want to belabor this, but it's not something you book. I mean, you go there, you can go anywhere you want, any path. It's not like you have to call and say, hey, we're coming, could you put us on a list to go hiking?
No, it's like a national park. So you have to pay some kind of a parking fee to get in.
That's not big deal.
People would have an annual deal so they can go to all the national parks in the area. But, if you were, like, say you're a tourist, you would just rent a car and drive out to it and just pay the parking fee and park and go wherever you want.
That's really neat, because obviously, who really associates Vegas with going on a hike? It's kind of, well, a lot of people go to the dam. Have you done that?
We haven't done that. I think, we like this part of this so much. The strip tends to wear you out after 3-4 days, unless you're really like gambling.
Yep.
It's cool to see, and then I don't mind getting away from it. So today we're spending time with friends who live out west of Vegas, on the west side of Vegas, in kind of a really nice developed Red Rock Casino. It's where a lot of celebrities stay and gamble, and it's just a completely different feel, very residential, very nice. And then you go out farther west and you hit the mountains. And if you want to, you drive another 50 miles and you're in California. It's a completely different feel. It's not commercial feeling at all.
Jim, you talk about coincidences. We just heard about the Red Rock Casino, or that what you're talking about, because we talked to Kelly at Kelly in Vegas. The guy who owns owns the Golden Nugget owns the Red Rock one too.
Right. And, we just heard of that information today too.
Yeah, well, that was because, well, we were talking to her about that guy that plunked the money down on Michigan State. So that's just a quick little aside or something that I found funny. She knows very well Tony Miller, the head of the sports book at the Golden Nugget, who took the bet. $20,000 on Michigan State. He wins $1 million if they win. Had to go to the owner of this for Toddy to get permission to do it. But he said, and he knows it, if this bet goes through, I'll be working. I guess I'll have to be asking you for a job at Kelly in Vegas.
My friends out here were telling us something else I'd never conceived of as we get into more Vegas talk here. He's saying that there are DJs who work these late-night parties for basically trust fund babies who are partying in Vegas or live in Vegas.
Yeah.
And that these DJs make up to $430,000 a night doing these
what?
With the parties.
How is that possible? They're getting paid that, or it's not tips? They get paid that much money to do
it? That is what they take away, whatever combination of. But, I mean, they're doing it for all the Hilton babies and the whatever celebrities come to Vegas. I can't really conceive of that.
Just for going, reet, 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 like rubbing the the vinyl?
We chose poorly in our career.
My God, did we ever. And unfortunately, I don't think they're looking for middle-aged DJs.
Well, we need what we need. We need to be DJs for Trump. He wouldn't know whether it was good music or not. So it'd be kind of an easy job.
I think you're onto something there. Now so we can say we talked about sports.
Yeah,
the Wild wound up losing to the Rangers. They got five games left. They're not in peril, but it is one heck of a finishing schedule that they've got.
Started talking about the playoffs, so you know that they're in a pretty comfortable position. But it is a brutal schedule. What you don't know down the stretch is who's going to care about what games. If Yo was already looking at kind of gearing up for the playoffs, they're going to play some teams that might want to rest a star or a team that knows it's already kind of locked into a position and doesn't have a lot of motivation. So if the schedule looks really daunting, I'm not sure it's going to play as bad as it looks.
No, except, the only thing is because it's the three teams that they play, the final three teams, Chicago, Nashville, and St. Louis. Nashville's at 103 points, St. Louis is at 101, and Chicago's at 100. So there is some jockeying there. I do think by the time they play St. Louis, it'll be sorted out. And then they may be resting their goal, maybe rest players, and they can get a win there. If they get two of these wins, and I think they're going to be fine for that first wild card spot. And then,
I really do. I just feel like they're locked in and they're playing. So, even losing a one goal game to the Rangers, yep. No shame in that. That's a really good team. I still think they're just playing so well. They're going to muster enough points out of the stretch.
Yep. Now, when are you going home, coming home to Minnesota, going right to Detroit?
I fly home tomorrow. Then Sunday night, I fly to Detroit, cover the opener. Then Tuesday, I fly to Augusta for the Masters.
It's a great week.
It's a pretty sweet gig.
That's a great week to be having.
And now I get to try the Tiger Woods one more time. How about that?
Well, you knew that was going to happen. They made it. USA Today had like breaking news on Twitter. Know. The breaking news would have been had he not done it.
Right. Although I do think he's making a mistake. This is a guy who made his fame preparing for and winning majors and gearing up for majors. And he's not prepared for this. He is. His short game is in no way ready for the delicate shots required at the Masters. His driver is in no way ready for the. It's a fairly easy driving course, but that's if you're hitting it well. If you're hitting it way wide, you can get yourself in all kinds of trouble, or you can end up not being able to take advantage of the par fives. And if you're Tiger Woods and you're not taking advantage of the par fives, and your short game's rusty. I really doubt that he'll make the cut.
You know what, though, Jim? He'll grab his back and say it's bugging him. That's what happened. He'll always
now
come.
That
he's
is
got
exactly
something.
Right.
Yeah.
I think sometime on Friday morning, if things aren't going well, the back starts acting up.
Absolutely. And, he's got the back, so it makes sense. Now, who is today you have? Well, I believe that Michael Russo will be filling in for you at O'Gara's tonight, right?
That's right. I think it's 5 o'clock. I'll tweet out details once I have them. I think it's 5 o'clock tonight. Michael Russo will be at O'Gara's, and then they have a live karaoke later that night in the shanty back there. And then, like I said, the other embargoed Twins interviews that I've done will run sometime in the next week, probably.
And you find that at SuhanUnfiltered.com, and obviously you want to check out all of Jim's stuff when he starts writing again. Monday will be your first column again with the Twins opener, correct?
Yeah, I'm going to write a preview column for the opener, then I'll cover the opener, then I'll start writing about the Masters from then on, And what else are they going to mention? Oh, and so when I'm on with you on Monday, it might actually be during this Wednesday.
That'd be great. We can get an update.
Yeah.
We're great,
yeah,
Jim.
Absolutely.
So start following Jim again on the Star Tribune. And Sunday, you'll be in. No, Monday's paper is when it would
Monday's
be.
Monday's paper, yes.
Okay.
Sir.
All right. And again, SuhanUnfiltered.com. Jim, have a great rest of the day. Enjoy it and have a great Easter. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Talk to you next week. All right. Take care. We're going to take a quick break. And when we return, you know what? It's Good Friday. It's a Good Friday, even if you don't believe in Good Friday. There's no D-bag of the day today. We're going with the anti-D-bag of the day. And we'll do that when we return. What is this from?
By War.
figured since we don't have an actual D-bag and we're doing anti-D-bag.
Yeah, it's an anti-D-bag.
Play something friendly.
You know, because there's a lot of things I want to get into. We're joined again by Sam Ekstrom from 105theticket.com. And he does the wake-up call 8 to 10 on Sunday mornings. Heck boy. Monday becomes hell boy again, but it's Good Friday. We don't want to use that hell word too often. Well, you know who's getting friendly. Anti-D-bags, and we rarely do this, the NFL. The NFL gets our anti-D-bag award because they have hired their first female official, Sarah Thomas. She became the first female to officiate NCAA football games in 2007. Been a finalist for the NFL before, and now she's going to be doing NFL games. Well, good for them.
Now, I believe the NBA has two or three female referees. Yep. I don't recall there being any female umpires, though.
I don't believe at the major league level.
So the NFL is actually number two of the professional leagues to have a female official. Good for them. Yeah. Usually they're the last ones to adopt the proper policies. But in this case, they're actually somewhat ahead of the curve.
Now, they did have a replacement ref early in the 2012 season who was not the Sarah Thomas. It must have been Shannon Easton. That was her name. This poor Shannon Easton, because the first thing I'm going through my head is, you had a shot in an NFL game, and they're not bringing you back. Now, probably maybe the union won't let her in, you know, the union for the officials, because she, in their mind, she would have been a scab. And that's what happened with a lot of players. It was tough. When the NFL had its walkout in 87, some guys did make teams, but they were ostracized. Took a long time for some of these guys to get accepted.
Right. I can't go back that far, Bob, but going back to the replacement refs just a few years back. Now, they came from NAIA schools and small leagues, correct? So I don't think
it's a big leap, right?
Right. And they weren't necessarily ready even to have at all. I mean,
it was horrible. We
saw it with the Seahawks-Packers game. And that was really the nail on the replacement refs shelf life in the NFL.
Yeah, that one was just it was bad. Now, this thing, you're both aware of what happened with Josh Hamilton?
Right, the relapse?
Yep. Well, not the relapse. He cannot be disciplined by Major League Baseball for his latest relapse or problems involving alcohol and drug abuse. An arbitrator ruled that today. This went to arbitration because they have a four-person panel that appointed the baseball's joint drug program with the Players Association. There's a four-person panel, a lawyer, a medical representative, and they're, you know, each appointed by the management and Players Association. Well, the four of them deadlocked 2-2 on whether Hamilton should be disciplined. Then they brought an arbitrator in, and he said he's not subject to discipline. Do you know what this does to the entire program? It's worthless. Basically, he said, you know what? You drink, you do drugs, have at it. I mean, this is a bad, bad precedent. But part of it was arbitration, and the guy said, oh, can't be disciplined.
So we do have a D-bag of the day, you're saying?
Well, I guess you could say that the arbitrator, but I wanted to stay away from it. Because it's, you know, Good Friday, it's a Good Friday and all that. But this is a bad thing. But yes, we could do that. He would not be able to play till May anyway because of injuries. But it's just a bad precedent now because it's given a lot of these guys, hey, I'll just take it. I get in front of an arbitrator, I'm good to go.
Is that because he didn't necessarily test positive? Did he admit his mistake before it came out via test?
No, interestingly, the reasoning for the arbitrator is just said that the it really is not giving a strong reason why. The only thing he really said is that he was not subject to discipline and did not give reasons for the decision. So he really didn't say anything beyond that, and that's a bit of a dangerous thing.
Well, he's a repeat offender, too, and it seems like there's a little bit of bias here because of Hamilton's great road to recovery. He had a very inspirational story.
What? Breaking news.
Apparently, Irvin Santana's been suspended to, let's say, 80 games for PED use.
He better get in front of that arbitrator.
He's got bigger problems than being sued over that necklace.
Oh, my God. Yes, $40,000 for the necklace suing. 80 games.
Compliments.
This was their big signing.
Ben Holt stepping into our studio to let us know what's up.
Well, thank you for that, Ben. And by the way, I got a feel. I'm switching my 5 years in a row for 90 lost seasons. How about this? It's Friday before the start of the season,
Mike Pelfrey,
they just collapse.
Mike Pelfrey gets his starting role back, I guess.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Wow. That's stunning.
It's mind-boggling.
So if Pelfrey jumps into the starting rotation, who do we bring up as the long reliever? Do you use Trevor May or do you let him get starts down in AAA?
This is time when you... actually, you bring up your 6'9" Alex Meyer. 80 games for PED use.
Supposedly, left-handed reliever Aaron Thompson's been recalled from AAA Rochester to take Santana's roster spot and likely Pelfrey moving to the starting rotation, guys.
He was tested positive for stanozolol. Stanozolol?
What is that?
It's a PED, performance-enhancing drug. Wow.
He's owed $13.5 million this season. The Twins would, what, cut that in half? They wouldn't have to pay him for the 80 games, I would imagine.
No, right? He wouldn't have to. But see, a lot of his money was guaranteed, too.
Does Santana have a previous offense? Because I thought 50 was the first offense. 80 seems
long. Yeah, 80 seems high. I'm not really sure why.
This is stunning news.
I just got that one like a minute ago.
It just broke, yeah. I mean, the story, I just saw, the story just came up, was at 3:48. The story just posted on the Star Tribune at 3:46. Yeah. So it's all breaking. I tell you what, every Twins beat writer is furiously writing to get something out in a hurry.
It'll be an interesting afternoon. You lucky dogs get to go home and enjoy Easter weekend. We'll be here slogging.
Well, you'll have Mike Berardino on, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
He'll be on
Mike
top
Berardino
of this.
For sure.
But you're right. Sam made a great point. Sam Hextrom, that $40,000 he's being sued for the Nexus. You know what? Here's his perfect now. Man, I was all full of PEDs. I didn't know what I was thinking. He could fall back on that one. 40 grand being sued for, and now 80 days. Devastating to your Twins. However, if I were them, I'd hustle up, get in front of that arbitrator that Josh Hamilton had. He'll reinstate him.
Well, what happens now? I mean, they signed him to a massive contract this offseason. Can they go back and sue and make sure that, I mean, those dollars, they don't have,
I'm sure,
they want it back out of the contract?
Sure.
Is that a possibility?
I'm sure all these contracts have clauses in them that protect the teams against players being suspended.
Especially after the Alex Rodriguez ordeal, because that was a boondoggle for
but
the
But I thought the Yankees still had to pay A-Rod, and they're fighting.
Did. They do.
They're fighting that they don't have
that
to.
That was under old contracts.
Yeah.
I'm sure
that
the new ones have, they're covering their asses on these.
What a disappointment, though. I mean, looking forward to the last weekend, couple games before opening day Monday, going into Detroit.
Sunny. Hey, we're going to Detroit. What a great, let's have some fun. Oh,
how
my goodness.
So Ricky Nolasco is now our number two starter, everybody. Ricky Nolasco.
No, I think
no
technically he is. Because he's
Alex
be
Meyer. Get the 6'9" goof up here.
Mm.
It's early, but what are you going to do? That is a great story.
Well, I don't know about great, but yeah, I know. It's
a great story. I'm not saying it's a great story because it's bad. It's just a great story.
Juicy.
It's grandiose. It's an incredible story. But you know what? This is why I think the Wild are not going to make the postseason. Because they're Minnesota teams. No, I don't believe. But it's a Minnesota team. Something always happened to screw. This is somewhat akin to the Adrian Peterson deal. I mean, he played a game, right? And that was it. He was done. Something always happens to derail these teams. Who put a curse on them? You do it.
I didn't do
was
it.
Was it you,
was
Ben?
Was it your lady? Was it Ruth Lorden
no.
who comes in here with the issues? She's got the voodoo thing going on.
Sam had a point of who the Patrick is. Tell him.
Patrick is Joe Mauer's middle name.
I wonder if it's Irvin Patrick Santana. Let me check that one. No, I don't think so.
Is this the most serious PED offense in Twins baseball history?
For sure. Because Arcia was out last year, right?
Yeah, but so what?
No, I get what you're saying, but he's...
Rosario, but that's in the minor leagues.
He had 50 games in the minors.
But 80 games for your... Well,
your off-season 50, star. That's the guy you signed.
The biggest free agent in your franchise's history.
Well, you know, maybe he came here because Hazelden's just up the road. He knew he'd be close, and he could still stay in touch with his new teammates.
I think he's more interested in Hazeldine because he likes to go golfing.
Yeah, well, Hazeldine is going to have an interest in him, and the Twins are going to tell him that. Sam Hextrom from 105theticket.com and the Wake Up Call on Sunday mornings, 8 to 10. Check it out on Sunday, on Easter Sunday. You guys doing Easter Sunday, too?
We are. We are tireless.
What are you, nuts?
Yeah.
All right. Heck, boy, thanks again. You just heard Ben Holson. You'll hear him again in moments with superstar Mike Morris. The superstar. Superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson. They will give you the absolute latest on Irvin, the PEDer, Santana. 80 games he's going to be lost. And Mike Berardino will give you the up-to-date stuff with them because he'll be on with Ben and Mike. That's an incredible way. Nice way to end the show with a little bit of breaking news. Thanks, Ben. Thanks, Heck Boy. Thanks, Sam. We'll have a great Good Friday, a great weekend. If you believe in Easter, have a great Easter. If you don't, have a good weekend anyway. We'll see you later. When the man comes around.